From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
Hey, what's up, man? What's up? Everybody, what's going on? Welcome to the Bleed Blue Show. We are, what are we, Steve? The Forum for the Fans.
The Forum for the Fans.
The Fans, indeed. Welcome. We're gonna highlight the 2018 NFL Divisional Round Playoffs tonight. Wild Card Weekend continues for Saturday and Sunday. And y'all know how this goes. You know that y'all know the lineups already. Falcons at Eagles, Titans at Patriots, Jaguars at Steelers, and Saints at Vikings. Steve, what's going on, man?
Nothing much. How your week been? You been feeling a little better? I heard you was under the weather.
I was gonna ask you, do I sound okay? I've been practicing.
You sound normal.
Okay, good. Hey, you Hey, man, let me tell you something. I set a record yesterday. I'll tell you about it at the end of the show, man, but I set some kind of record for the Bleed Blue Show last night. I actually was waiting to call in, and I fell asleep right here, and I woke up with the phone in my hand, and the show was off.
What the hell happened? What happened? What are you talking about?
I'm not going to go into my business. Yes, I will. I have the flu, man. It really messed me up really bad this week, man. I was out of commission. But you know, I want to stay on football task here, man. But I tell you what, that was kind of funny and kind of sad all at the same time. Nonetheless, we're going to move on, man. This is Divisional Round Playoff Weekend, Steve. And we got some barn burners this weekend. A couple of them I can't even figure out. That's why I can't wait to see or hear what the stakeholders have to say. It's really important it's going to be an educational moment for me as well, man, because I can't figure this stuff out, man. It's just as perplexing as last week with Wild Card Weekend. Steve, you got any, freaking plugs or?
Absolutely. First, I want to say shout outs to Rayson, if he's out there. Stakeholders, he's not Rayson. Shout out to him too. As a matter of fact, his stakeholder spotlight was a week ago or 2 weeks ago. Shout out to him. We had a recent stakeholder spotlight with Marlo.
Yes.
He's a passionate Knicks fan. He's a Knicks fan, Yankee Ranger fan, but he's a very big Knicks fan. His spotlight was early this week. Excellent episode with him, man. You really get to know what the beauty about the spotlight is, Chris, because depending on what platform you call in, if it's the Giant shows or the Knicks shows, sometimes you only have but 3 minutes to say your piece, where the spotlights are designed for the stakeholder to go as long as what he wants to say for whatever he wants to say for pretty much an hour. And I really like the fact that there's no platform that gives sports fans their own say, like the Bleed Blue Show. You know, you have shows that have hosts, but we try to make it about the everyday fan. We're no better than the fan. The fan is the equal say as the host. But the stakeholder spotlight is actually the fans saying whatever they want, however they want, on whatever topic they need to get off their chest. And it's really been interesting. You got to hear from different people, different things they're doing in their own personal lives. And there's great stories all across the board. Love having these guys on and gals.
Yeah. It's important because you get to know if you've been a Bleed Blue stakeholder or fan for a long time, then you actually kind of become family. You get to see some of the same guys and you get to know them really well. And you go to tailgates, you do a further fellowship there. But what's really cool is with the spotlights is that you're able to actually find out more about your fellow fan. The guy that you ride or die with, or lady that you ride or die with, and it's really insightful and it's great, man. So, hey, man, that's what the Bleed Blue is all about, bro. You know that.
So,
I appreciate
besides that, earlier this week, the Rangers episode with RP Ranger Talk, we had Jeff from BlueShirtsNation.com talking Rangers hockey, real deep stuff as far as the state of the Rangers right now, as they're in the bye week, have some crucial divisional games, we're battling injuries. All that episode stuff is on, you know, the iTunes podcast for public tuning and Stitcher app, BleedBlueShow.com. And, of course, the Knicks episode was a very, very interesting dialogue with the Knicks last night on the Knickerbocker Avenue fan forum. Knickerbocker Avenue, follow him on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Ranger Proud, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. The Knicks episodes, the Knicks are really, really, really struggling right now, Chris. And we had a very, very great dialogue with the stakeholders.
I noticed.
And now here we are talking football. And do any of the games last week surprise you before we go on to next week and then also bringing on the stakeholders? Does anything surprise you?
Just a little. I was a little surprised at the Titans because they showed me what they were all 2017. They either the first half or the second half. They looked either one of those two. Those are two different teams that you saw in each half of that game. Either they're going to actually come out aggressive and really take it to you, or they're just going to lay down and die. And they showed you both sides on in both halves of that game against the Chiefs. And I don't know what to make of the Chiefs, man, at home with that crowd. With that momentum, I don't know what's going on. But the Chiefs are out of it, and they're not part of this conversation tonight, Steve. So that was
what
my,
about
that was
the
my shocker.
You picked the Falcons. I did not. I thought the Rams mm-hmm. played terribly, especially on special teams
they did.
Last week.
They did.
The Falcons. You think that carries over into Philly? We'll talk about that game tonight.
Yeah, we're gonna
the
go.
The Jaguar
that.
Buffalo
yeah,
game was.
Sure.
The Buffalo game was really ugly. Well, if you're a defensive type of person, that was the type of game for you. But offensively, they couldn't really do nothing. And then what was the other game? Oh, the Panthers game was interesting towards the end. I thought the Saints were
going
to win anyway.
You know what? Yeah, and if you really pay attention, New Orleans almost blew that game, too. I guess that'll be part of tonight's dialogue, too. But
Devin Funchess, the wide receiver for the – he did not –
that was
so,
a catchable ball.
Catchable ball. It looked like he just looked at it and didn't even go attack
after.
Exactly. He should have caught that. They should have won.
Exactly. Okay, so we're seeing the same thing. Yeah, that was a catchable ball right there.
Unbelievable.
I want to remind everybody, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google, at or the Bleed Blue Show on all of those forums right there, or www.bleedblueshow.com. And all of the archive episodes on TuneIn or Podcast Republic or Stitch applications. Hey, check us out, bleedblueshow.com. All right, Steve, man, you want to swing into this? Which game you want to start with, bro?
You know what? We could go Titans-Patriots. Let's go Titans-Patriots.
Titans-Patriots?
There's a two-part question when I ask you. I'm going to ask you the question, two-part question.
Okay. All right.
Do they carry over what they did in the second half in Kansas City into New England? And number two, does all that stuff with going on in New England phase them? Do they tune that out with all the ego stuff with Belichick and all the Belichick, Brady, Kraft, as far as who's responsible
right.
for Super Bowl wins and the head coaches and are the coordinators, offensive, defensive? Are they focused enough to stick to their game plan and not worried about their future head coaching job? Those are my pretty much like softball questions for those games. For that
okay, stakeholders, y'all heard the questions. 929-477-4171. 2018 NFL Division Round Playoffs. Guess who's here, Steve? At Everything NYG.
Okay.
Robbie himself.
Nice.
What's up, Rob?
Yo, what's up, guys? What's up?
Hey, man.
Hey.
What's going on, sir?
Not too much, man. I called in early tonight. Was looking forward to it all day, man. Ready to talk some football.
That's what's up.
Sir.
Okay, you heard
looking
the question,
forward to,
Rob.
Looking forward to it. What was that?
I want
to
hear the question. You heard the question about
the
Titans-Patriots game that Steve just asked.
Yeah, man, hey, I'm telling you right now, I don't think the Titans are going to win, but I think they're going to show up. I think they're going to definitely give the Patriots a run for their money, man. The Titans are a good team. Like you said,
man.
Chris, you know, they're a second-half team, in my opinion. Mariota's a second-half quarterback. But, you know, I think DeMarco Murray being inactive for them is one of the biggest blessings that they can receive for this week because Derrick Henry's a freak in nature.
Mm-hmm.
I remember before he got drafted how much we were all calling for him for the Giants, man. He's a goon. He's an absolute beast, and he's going to be starting for them. He's going to get those 5-yard runs over and over, and he's going to break one. He's just going to continue to do it because the Patriots won't stop it up front. I think he's going to score at least twice. I think he'll score twice on the ground and maybe even one through the air. I think he'll have an insane game. And I don't know. I think it's going to be close. This wouldn't surprise me if it was an overtime game. It really wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. I think it's really going to come down to it. I really do. I think Mariota's going to run all over him. And I think Brady's going to do his thing. I think Byard will definitely get him a pick, at least one. The Titans have really good corners, man. Their corners and their DBs are really good, and I think it's going to give Brady a hard time. They have a good D-line. They have a really good linebacking core. They have a lot of good pieces of that team that can definitely slow down the Patriots. You know, the Patriots really, and I mean, we all say it every single year, their roster is really not that great. There's two guys that make them great, and that's Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And if you can stop Tom Brady, history has shown it. Look what the Dolphins just did a few weeks ago. You can stop Tom Brady, you're going to stop the Patriots. That's all it takes. All it's going to take is to get some pressure in his face and stop the receivers. That's all it's going to take. Just nice little man-to-man coverage, no gaps, and just blitz Brady, and they will win that game. Just take Henry, run him right up the middle, blitz Brady, and play man-on-man. I promise you they'll win that game. That's all it would take. That's all it would take to beat the Patriots. And I think they can do it. I do think they're going to do it. But, you know, my gut of gut tells me they won't, so I'm going to pick the Patriots to win this game, but not by a lot. I think it might be an overtime game. That's about it.
Cool enough. Fair enough. That's Robbie, everybody, and everything NYG. Steve from Los Angeles is on the line. What an insightful cat this guy is, man. What's up, Steve?
I'm doing
Steve.
Well. How are you?
Steve.
I didn't miss
What's
it the first
on,
time
sir?
This time. So,
All good.
So I'll say about this game. You know, last week the Titans really won that game because Kelce got hurt, and once he got hurt, I mean that game changed. And Chiefs receivers were dropping balls left and right. I mean, if their receivers and their backup tight end had played an even a competent game, they would have won that game. So going into that, I'm not that impressed with the Titans coming into this game, and I think that the Patriots will not suffer from the breakdowns that the Chiefs had. And you know, the previous caller said, well, just stop Tom Brady, but everyone knows that, but no one can actually do it. So I'm not so – I think the Patriots are going to win this game pretty easily. Yeah, but once in the regular season it happens. I mean, you know, Belichick's had 2 weeks now to prepare. They'll figure it out. They're going to win this game. I think also you asked, Steve, did you ask about, like, did the stuff going on with the Patriots as a distraction? Is that what you asked?
Yeah, it was not just the upper management, you know, with Kraft, Brady, Belichick with that letter, but what about the coordinators who are being interviewed by different teams? Do you think those guys are a game plan? Are they professional at the game plan? You think they'd be ready? Or what's your thoughts?
I think they'll be professional. I mean, you know, the Patriots have gone through this before. I mean, you know, it's not the first time someone's wanted to poach their coordinators and gone through the playoffs with this. So I don't think this is really going to be an issue. I think that, you know, there may have been an issue before with management, I'm sure. I mean, let me put it this way. I don't know if this happened, but I would not be shocked at all if what was going on was Belichick basically said, you know what, Brady's getting old, and I want to move on to Garoppolo next year. And management was like, absolutely not. There's no way you're doing that. And so he traded him. And I'm sure that caused friction, but that's over with. I mean, that was weeks ago. I don't think that's going to affect them anymore. So I really don't think it's an issue.
Gotcha. How do you see the game?
All right.
Like I said, I think the Patriots are going to win pretty easily.
Okay, fair enough. Steve from L.A. I like the way that sounds on this show. Thanks a lot, Steve. Appreciate it.
No problem.
929-477-4171 is the Bleed Blue Show. Steve is here. Christopher's here. We're just rolling down the line here. Next online is Chandler. I believe.
Hey, how everybody
Chandler.
Doing?
Hey,
what's up,
fellas? How you doing?
What's up, bro? All
right.
How you doing?
Yeah.
What's going on?
How'd you get over the Knicks
not
loss
much,
last
night?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I'm over it. You know, once I yell about it, I'm done. I move on to the next day.
Nice.
So,
Well, I mean, listen, the Titans wouldn't even be here except for the fact that they played against a team coached by Andy Reid. So this is they're going to get mopped. Okay, this is going to be a 3-touchdown game. They can't stop anybody, first off. Their defense isn't that good. Mariota is going to throw you two balls, like he did in the game against Kansas City, except they dropped him and all the other nonsense. But Mariota is going to put – he's going to turn the ball over at least twice. Derrick Henry is going to put the ball on the ground. They have no receivers. I don't see any way that they do anything here. I mean, listen, when Eric Decker is one of your go-to receivers, you ain't got no receivers. Because Eric Decker's a bum. We know that from watching him on the Jets. The guy's a bum. He will drop every big ball he's supposed to catch. So I don't see any way Tennessee does anything good in this game. Belichick's had 2 weeks to take away the strength of that team, which is the run. And he's going to dare them to pass. And last I checked, Mariota threw more interceptions than touchdowns. So I don't see them passing their way past New England. And with the distraction piece, I mean, honestly, I don't see why anybody wants to interview their assistants, since none of his assistants has ever turned out to be a good coach. But, no, I don't think it's going to be an issue with them and their interviewing. And if there weren't issues or some kind of power struggle there, I don't think they'd be as successful, because when you get successful people in a room that are working together, you want conflict, because that means that they're constantly trying to get better. You know, that's, you know, when you're constantly trying to get better, it breeds a little conflict, a little confrontation. So it's not shocking that it happened. I think it's the only shocking thing is the people that think that they're running around saying, hey, I love you every day. You know, highly competitive people are never going to always get along. So, but yeah, I see this being a 3-touchdown game by halftime.
Wow. Okie dokie. That was clear and concise and to the point. All right. There's nothing more I can add to that. Okay. Was he clear enough, Steve?
Real clear.
Okay. We're going to go to the next caller. Thanks, Chandler, bro. 929-477-4171. Asim, the champ. What's happening?
What's going on, Chris? Steve, Chandler, hey. Steve from L.A., Robbie. Hey, man. Listen, Chandler said it all, man. They're going to get Molly Whopped, man. Bill Belichick had 2 weeks, like he said, to prepare for what it is you do best, which is run the ball, and he's going to force you to pass. And when he forces you to pass, he's going to take away your number one threat, which is Delanie Walker, the tight end, because, like Chandler said, they got bums for wide receivers, man. So once he takes that tight end out of the game plan in the passing game and he stacks the box against your run game, you know, then what are you going to do then? Your only hope is what? Maybe DeMario will get loose once or twice for a couple of game-changing runs. But then if he do that, chances is he's going to open himself up to get hit more. And one hit puts him out the game, that's it. Because I don't even know who their backup quarterback is. So this game is going to get out of hand. This game is going to be kind of like how the game was this week at halftime, 21-3. But then the game is going to probably finish being like 42-10. Because I have no faith in the Titans defense to stop them. They don't get a consistent pass rush at all. They have decent cover corners, but like everybody else, man, you got to match up with that monster number 87, and I don't think they have anybody that can match up with Gronkowski, man. So that's going to be the Achilles heel. You make it cover, you know, the receivers here and there, but who are you going to get to cover that monster number 87? Not too many people in the league can do it, and the Titans definitely don't have anybody on their roster that I've seen that could do it. So they had their hands full with Kelce before he got injured. Kelce's not even the physical freak who's looking to goon you when he catches the ball. He's more like a finesse guy who want to stiff arm you. He want to run by you. Gronkowski will drop that shoulder and put his square in your chest, you know, any chance that he gets. So I'm looking at a 42-10 type of game, and then we just got to see who it is that they're going to play at home in the conference championship the next week.
Gotcha. Thank you, champ. That was clear. That's a sum, everybody. The champ himself. You're listening to the 2018 NFL Divisional Round Playoff Show at the Bleed Blue Show with Steve and Chris right now. We're going to bring on the next cat. This is Rayson. What's up, man?
Yo.
Rayson. Chris. What's going on, sir?
Oh, what's going on, fam? Yo, Steve, first of all, I just want to say thank you for shouting me out, man. It really means a lot to me.
No doubt. Shout out to Ray.
Yo, second of all, listen, man. The Patriots are going to destroy these dudes, man. Let's keep it 100, man. I mean, they want, you know what I mean? The Titans won a fluke game. You know what I mean? Kansas City hasn't been playing well anyway. You know what I'm saying? So that was a fluke game. Man, the Patriots are going to go up by like three touchdowns at least. You know what I'm saying? As long as I hate to say it because I can't stand the Patriot organization or the Cowboys. But anyway, that's another show for another. And Steve, by the way, I'm still taking shots about last night's game with the Knicks. But well, that's for another show for another day. Anyway, yeah, man, I see I see the Patriots winning by like at least three times, man. I mean, come on, man. Like we're talking about the Patriots. They always, you know what I'm saying? But my question to everybody is, if Tom Brady would have gotten drafted by another team, will he be as good as he is now? You know what I'm saying? Like I feel that Tom Brady, the reason why he's as good as he is because of Bill Belichick's system. Because if he was in another team, I don't think he'd be as good. I'm just keeping 100. That's all I got right now.
Okay. All right. Well,
that's
Steve,
a fair question.
Look, you know, I got to tell you, man, you know, I think the one – there's one plus I see on the Titans' favor, and that's – the fact that I think the stat was that New England was 30th in the league in rushing the defense this year. And this sort of coincides with the fact that Derrick Henry is on fire this minute. So I guess it's a good idea offensively for the Titans to just go ahead and sort of like control the tempo by Henry pounding the rock, you know, on the left side of that Patriots defense and keep it going. You know, he did it against the Chiefs. The Chiefs were like near the bottom of the league too, you know, so it's no big thing. You know, as you know, somebody just alluded to the fact that Mariota has a nice athletic ability back there to open up some holes sometime for Henry, and that's all well and good as well. So I kind of think that that's a mismatch in terms of the Titans offense, running offense versus the Patriots running defense. But after that, let's just cut the nonsense. Every time you predict that something will go amiss with the Patriots every year for the last at least 15 years, they sort of come through, to use that term, to be kind. You know, they have one of the best home field advantages in the league. You know, their roster has a hell of a lot more playoff experience than the Titans' roster does. What else? Also, the Patriots, another thing that we haven't spoken about, man, the Patriots kind of came up the last part of the year, man, with a rushing offense. You know, you started to see Deion Lewis a lot, James White a lot. Rex Burkhead really started coming on, and I think he's questionable this week. I'm not really sure, but I do know that they have that option to go to as well, and that helps them out. Tennessee's defense, they've been okay, but like everyone just said, man, they had a lot of trouble. Even I think Steven from LA said they had trouble covering Kelsey before he got hurt. So if they had trouble with Kelsey, you know damn well the Patriots have noticed, particularly Belichick. They noticed. They're taking notice of that mismatch, and Gronkowski's just going to be fire. Having said all of that, I just wanted to keep it short. There's other things I can mention about this game, but this is obviously a 31-13 game from as far as I can see it. It's going to be a rudimentary Patriots win where in the middle of the fourth quarter you get up and start getting on the phone and going on Facebook and talking to your friends and getting another beer or whatever, because that's the kind of game I see happening coming up. So on this weekend. So that's what I'm seeing, Steve. What do you see?
I agree with you. I agree with all you guys. This is the late afternoon nap game. So after you watch Falcons Eagles, you probably want to before you happen to go out at night. If there is ever one game out of the four games this week that you want to take a nap and get some rest before you hit the streets, it's this game. There's possibly there could be a risk, but the chances is very, very, very unlikely. I mean, you're looking for all kind of angles for the Titans to be inspired. I think they're probably just happy to be there, and Mike Mularkey is probably just happy to keep his job because he was pretty much out of the door.
Yeah.
Miraculously
yes.
coming out, winning that game versus Kansas City. And you know what? You brought up a good point about – you even mentioned it last week with that X-Factor, Eric Decker being the X-Factor in the Kansas City Chiefs game, and which he was in one of the scores. But when it comes to the Patriots, I mean, this is a totally different animal.
Right.
And the Kansas City Chiefs, I thought, were a shell of themselves. And when Kelce went out of the game, they have nothing else. Where in this game, where if, let's say, Gronkowski happens, you know, Gronkowski is injury prone. Let's say he happens to leave the game. I'm looking at it from perspectives of what if somebody gets hurt for the Patriots? Does that stop their well-oiled machine? I don't think so. Not in this game. We've seen even last year when Gronkowski wasn't even playing, and I know Patriots had more weapons, well, better weapons, if you add on a Julian Edelman, but in this situation where you have, Bukhard and you got Cooks, you have other guys you could go to, you could still run the ball, they'll be fine. This is probably the easiest game. I don't even know the spread on this game, Chris. And I think this is probably – we're probably better off betting the spread than picking the winner. I would rather whatever the over-under is. And that's the type of game this is. So I wouldn't say even waste any a second more on this game. The Patriots are going to win. If they lose, we'll look all like fools. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Okay. What's the next game we want to roll with, Steve?
Oh, your turn. You pick the game.
Oh. Well, let's see. Let's try this Falcons-Eagles game. Let's try that one. This ought to be interesting conversation, interesting dialogue. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about the 2018 NFL Divisional Round Playoffs on the Bleed Blue Show. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google, www.bleedblueshow.com. Rob at EverythingNYG. Tell me what you're looking at, man, when you look at this game, man. This is going to be a fierce. This is going to be – I think this is going to be the closest thing we have to a bloodbath this weekend.
This should be the 8 o'clock game. This should be the 8 o'clock.
I can't say that.
This should be the 8 o'clock game. The Titans Patriots game should be the 4 o'clock game. This should 4:30 game. This should be the 8 o'clock game. You got it backwards
right,
on this.
Right.
Hey, just know if this is a close game, like I said, it's going to be. I'm gonna bring it up. Just it's not. I'm telling you guys, it's not going to be as rudimental as everyone thinks. But we'll see. I guess. Falcons and Eagles, man. Like you guys said, this is going to be the big game. This is going to be the one to watch. You know, it would be a lot different if Carson Wentz was still around. I don't think Nick Foles is anything to worry about. But they still have a hell of an offense, man. And their defense is even better. And they got Sidney Jones making another appearance. And he looked really good in his first game. And he's coming back again. And he'll probably be against Hardy. And, I mean, not Hardy, Gabriel. So that'll shut down one of the faster guys. But this will be a good one, man. Like I said, you know, the defense of the Eagles is really good, man. Very, very good. And they've been good for a long time. Their D-line is disgusting. And we saw that against us. Their D-line is absolutely disgusting. And the Falcons have a good offense. They have a good offensive line. But I could have sworn one of their big guys is going to be out for this game. I read the name. I think it's their right tackle. What's his name? Matthews? Jake Matthews?
Yeah.
Could have sworn I saw that he'd be out for this game.
Yeah,
and that's going to be a big opening for Brandon Graham, man. So I really think the D-line is going to play a massive factor in this. In the last game, you know, Matt Ryan, there's a few good videos. I don't know if you guys watch Brian Baldinger's breakdowns. He did really good against the pressure. He had a lot of good sidearm throws. But I think it's going to really come down to that and if Devonta Freeman cannot put the ball on the ground. Because for some reason this year, all he's doing is fumbling. And they need him to come through and get those big runs and score on the goal line instead of fumbling all the time on the one-yard line because he's done it about 3 or 4 times this year. So they got Tevin Coleman too. So I think it's going to be a big, big influence of both running backs on both sides. You're going to see a lot of, like I said, a lot of running. Pass-wise, Both teams have good corners. Trufant's really good. I think he'll be really good against Jeffrey. I think Jeffrey's going to be a big impact, but I think you're going to see him have a really hard game against Trufant. Trufant's just one of the better shutdown corners in the league. He has been for a long time. But overall, I don't think there's any chance that this game doesn't get the score ran up. I think it's just going to be back and forth, firing shots, back and forth, deep balls, a lot of deep shots, a lot of big wide open weird plays, a lot of speed plays, because both teams have a lot of fast players on their team. Because I thought 100% that the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl this year. I didn't think there was a single chance they wouldn't. But just like last year with Derek Carr, their quarterback goes down and everything changes. Nick Foles looked good in the game against us, of course. You know, that's not even fair. But, you know, next game, game after that, he looked awful. So,
wow.
I don't know. Now, I'm serious, man. The Giants are just an unfair test. But it just depends on which Nick Foles shows up. You know, if the Nick Foles that used to be on the Eagles shows up, it's going to be a lot better game than it needs to be. But I think this is definitely going to be the game to watch. Like you said, a lot of good matchups. But I just think that D-line of the Eagles is going to be absolutely disruptive, and it's going to really cause a big issue for Matt Ryan and Devonta Freeman. And if they can keep the pressure going, especially if that tackle is out like I think he is, that's going to play a huge, huge, huge factor. Overall, I don't know, man. I guess the Falcons, because they looked like a completely different team last week. They really surprised me. I thought the Rams are going to go in there and really beat up on them. But they looked like their team from last year. They looked like a playoff team again. Matt Ryan looked like Matty Ice again, looked like the MVP. So if that team shows up, I think there's no chance that the Eagles pull this out with Nick Foles. But we'll see. Just like the game I said before, we'll see. I got the Falcons, but we'll see. I think it'll be a good one. A lot of good matchups, and let's find out like the other one.
Okay. At NYG. No, at everything NYG. That's Robbie, everybody. 929-477-4171. Steve from LA. What's your outlook here, man, on this game with the Falcons and the Eagles?
First of all, I did actually pick the Falcons last week. Of course, I also picked the Chiefs. So, you know, there you go. I think before Wentz got hurt, I was really afraid that this was finally the year that the Eagles were going to put it together and win the Super Bowl. Which would have been very crushing to me. But having said that, now that that's, you know, Wentz is out, I just haven't been, you know, I thought that Foles had a chance to really, you know, he's not a bad quarterback. He's probably one of the best backups in the league. And I thought that he had a chance to really show something, but I just haven't been impressed with him since he's been in. And so I don't think the Eagles are going to go anywhere. I think the Falcons are going to win this game, especially if the same team showed up last week, shows up again. You know, the Eagles defense can be had. I mean, you know, in that Rams game, you know, they weren't really stopping Goff. I mean, it was just kind of the end of the game. The Rams shot themselves in the foot. And I'm not so sure that they can, you know, so I think the Falcons can do stuff with them. Obviously, if they're one of their tackles is out, that's going to hurt them. But I think just the fact that Foles has just not played well, and that's really, you know, and therefore that just takes away so much of their offense. I think that's going to give the Falcons an advantage. I'm going to pick that. Now, admittedly, it's hard for me to say that I'm not being biased because I want the Eagles to lose so badly that I don't know if I'm looking at this that objectively, but being as objective as I can, I'm going to pick the Falcons in this one.
Cool. Yep. That's music to my ears. I didn't want to be out here on this island alone, Steve. And I'll get into that in just a little while. Thanks, Steve, from L.A. Chandler, sir.
Hey, you know, if Wentz was playing, I'd say 42-40 Eagles in a shootout. I've never liked Nick Foles. As far as I'm concerned, Nick Foles had one magical little run, but all in all, Nick Foles is a bum. And the guy that we've seen the past few games, and that's who he is. So I don't see the Eagles winning this game. I see their field goal kicker kicking about 5 field goals. I see this being a relatively close game until the fourth quarter, and then Atlanta's going to pull away because the defense is going to get tired of being put in bad situations. Nick Foles apparently can't throw the ball anymore. He wasn't that great, but, I mean, the guy can't throw right now. He's hesitating on all his throws. He's aiming the ball. And I don't see how that gets any better when you were feeling that pressure in the regular season, it's the playoffs now. You know, I'm not a huge fan of Jay Ajayi. I think he's a guy that in crunch time is going to put the ball on the ground. But with the fact that Foles is not going to be able to move that offense, I think the Falcons take this game. I mean, Devontae Freeman, I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know if he's hurt. I don't know what's going on with him fumbling or whatever. But the Falcons have too many weapons. And, listen, at the end of the day, they got Julio Jones and the Eagles don't. You know, Julio Jones makes up for a multitude of sins when you got nothing else going. Just give it to him. Hell, you can give it to him on a jet sweep. But I think the difference in this game is the fact that Nick Foles will not be able to move the Eagles up and down the field. He's going to constantly put the defense in bad situations. They'll kick some field goals, but at the end of the day, I think the Falcons win this game probably 35-15, but like I said, it'll be close until the fourth quarter.
That's solid. That's solid. Thank you. Thank you, Chandler. Assume. Champ.
Hey, man. It's the Falcons taking this game. I know everybody's saying the Eagles got a good offense in this and the third. Their defense is pretty good. Listen to me. I don't trust their defense, okay? I trust their defense as much as I used to trust a Rough Rider back in the day when I had them little things coming over to the crib. I don't trust them. Listen to me, Chris. I watched a Giants team with maybe one lineman that would be on another team start with three or four dudes who was one cut away from being working at Costco or Walmart or something. Ingram and great value running backs that we got, and that was it. So at the end of the day, they're not going to be able to stop that offense, man. They got more weapons than we had, and I'm just saying, Eli put up 434 yards and three touchdowns on them, and Ingram was the only legit receiving threat that you had. Them guys in Atlanta is rolling out Julio Jones, who's better than any offensive player that Philadelphia has. Then you got Sanu, who's good. Then you still have Gabriel. You have dudes like Hardy, the two running backs that you can split out and have a mismatch against any linebacker, any safety. I agree with Chandler. It may be a close game through three and a half quarters, and then them guys are going to turn it on towards the end, man, and they're going to win that game, and it's going to become a rout. And I keep telling y'all, them guys still got a solid taste in their mouth for what happened to them in their Super Bowl last year, and them being the brunt of the joke, and them being clowned on all offseason, and the fact that they made it as a six seed, and nobody really is giving them a chance to come out of the NFC like that. People was picking Philadelphia and Minnesota and even the Saints before them. Don't think that they're not using them as bulletin board material in order to do what it is that they need to do and get that W. And it's the perfect storm for them. You're catching a team that can be so-so on defense, so-so on offense, and their best offensive weapon is not playing. So I expect them to take full advantage of that this game. You give me the Falcons, say maybe 35-17.
Hmm. Wow. Okay. Hey, that's whew. Well, Steve, you heard the last two predictions.
So far, so good.
So, hey, we're rolling along. We're rolling along. Okay, fair enough. Racing, real quick, what's yours? How do you see this game? I'm gonna bring on warm
up. Man, listen. You know what? The Falcons been playing good defense. A running game is ill. I got the Falcons by 3. I'm just saying because they running game is ill, first of all, and then their defense been stepping up. So who knows? But I see what Carson Wentz was quarterback. That'd be a different story, but you know what? I see the Falcons winning by 3. It's going to be a tight game. It's going to be a tight game, but I see the Falcons winning by 3. That's all I got.
Okay, fair enough. All right, Worm is joining the conversation. What's up, Worm? Worm's calling in. What's happening, sir?
What's going on? What's happening?
We are here. We are here. We're talking 2018 NFL Division Round Playoffs. And right now, this is the Eagles Falcons matchup for Saturday. So what you looking at?
All right. Well, let's start off with one thing I totally believe in.
Mm-hmm.
Defense wins championships. Offense wins games. The Eagles' defense is such a fraud. It's unbelievable. Okay? The Eagles' defense is more of a fraud than Ben McAdoo was as a head coach for the Giants.
Wow. That's a fraud.
Going back, yeah, that's rough. That's bad right there when you're worse than McAdoo.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to when they played us in our building in Giants Stadium, Eli torched that defense. Torched with like JV freshman receivers, you know, whatever running backs we decided to trot out there that game, and Evan Engram. The offensive line was offensive, but they did a good enough job to have Eli throw over 400 yards. There's maybe one person on that offensive line that'd be a starter somewhere else. Maybe a second person would be borderline. And, you know, I think the team with a stronger defense is going to win on Sunday, and I see that being Atlanta. They have a good special teams unit. Their defense is, I think, better than what Philly has. And if it got into a shootout, you know, where both defenses are absolutely trash, I'd go with Atlanta's offense with, you know, Matty Ice and Julio and Freeman and Coleman. And Hooper's a decent receiving tight end.
Right.
I'm sitting on Atlanta all day. Probably see him 33-13. Philly gets like a last-minute garbage touchdown. And, you know, they'll go, you know, 52 years without winning the Super Bowl.
Which is music to my ears.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. It serves them right. The only thing that, you know, that worries me a little bit is them Atlanta teams down there, they just can't hold on to leads in the fourth quarter. You know, you got Georgia blowing it Monday night. You got the Falcons blowing the 28. That's the only concern I have with the Falcons is them Georgia teams. Whoa. I hope the Falcons close this out.
Okay. Thank you, Warren.
But, yeah.
Oh, I think
you got it.
Okay. Thank you. Well, Steve, look. Cole up here in Philadelphia. I don't think the Falcons will be intimidated by that at all. Okay. Where do I start? Falcons have a lot of experience in the postseason now and on the road. Okay? He doesn't really play good at Philly. That's been his history, but I don't care about that. He has Julio Jones. Okay? that's what they have to worry about. Now, this is where this game is going to be won, in the air, for the Falcons against that secondary for the Eagles. Okay? Now, you got Julio Jones, and you got Mohamed Sanu. Okay? You got the defensive left side is for the Eagles is, I think it's Mills. Mills is on that side. Ron Darby's the other. Okay? So Ryan has his pick of the litter here. Okay? Now, in the middle, I mean, oftentimes they have three safeties they drop back. They got McLeod. They got, I think that's Corey Graham. Corey Graham. But Malcolm Jenkins is a monster, and they can play anywhere. Now, that can help them double-team Jones and get the other receivers like the rest of the guys just alluded to in action as well. But talent that the Falcons possess, you know, a lot of times when they spread out, you got Tevin Coleman running up and down the goddamn field like as if he was Forrest Gump. okay? And if you're keying on Jones, then you have to take Nigel Branum the other from one side of the field. You got to bring him to the other. You see this stuff all the time, Steve, where you are. So to me, those scenarios are going to dictate this game, but particularly the early downs. The Eagles have a great defense. Yes, they do. But look at their numbers on third and long. They suck. Okay, they really do. You know, they get you in the early downs. They put you in. You know, they have to get you there. They have to put you in a bad position because if you're not in a bad position, you know, if you have a great quarterback working for you, like. I wouldn't call Matt Ryan a great quarterback, but he's damn near there. You know, that shit gives the D-line, the D-line for the Eagles fits. That's a problem for them. That's where this game is going to be won, okay? Falcons defense, man, I'll tell you what. With Foles being up, with Foles being at the helm this time, the Eagles need to run the ball 95 times this game, man. You know, Falcons still have a nice, you know, rising defense, man. You know, they're kind of small with that 4-3, I think. I feel they are, you know. And this is where you expect to see LeGarrette Blount and Ajayi, you know, do some business, man. If they – okay, then you got Eagles situation on third and long on offense. You know, Foles can't handle that shit. He has a lot of indecisiveness. He had it against the Giants. And that Falcons secondary, you know, lately on ball coverage, pretty impressive. I don't know. But I'm leaning towards the Falcons, and that's just not for my disdain for Philadelphia, all things Philadelphia. It's just that I feel that this is one of those games where, and there's a reason why the Vegas odds are low, too, for a number one seed. Okay, I don't know exactly what it is at this moment, but earlier today it was 3 points. Okay? And I just feel that this is one of those games that the Eagles being off for 2 weeks and not really expressing, just going around the town partying and not really expressing what the game plan is going to address, I think this is where they're going to have a problem. Also, Asim earlier alluded to the fact that, hey, the Atlanta Falcons have something to prove. They really, really do. After that meltdown last year, or what, 12 months ago, 11 months ago, they really have had a lot of explaining to do to everybody. Families, fans, media, you know, and they need to get that monkey off their back like yesterday. And I'm pretty sure they're discussing that right now. So, you, my Atlanta friend, it's up to you, sir. Bestie.
Well, I would put it like this. I agree with everybody's points. This is the only game on the schedule that I pick or make an objective pick and not make the pick based on who I want to lose or who I want to win, because this is the only game on the 4-day weekend. Of course I want the Eagles to lose. That'd be great. But I try to look at this objectively. You know, one name none of you guys have mentioned, and I think one of the most important players happens to be on defense for the Falcons is Deion Jones. I think he's played excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent defensively.
Yeah.
He's been a monster pretty much even in his rookie year, in the game versus the Rams. They have an easy path. I would say easy path. They have an easier path as a 6 seed than they would have if they were the 5 seed to go to New Orleans. So they went to Los Angeles, and you guys pretty much kind of nailed it on the head as far as playing a Rams team that's not experienced. They played on tough turf conditions that didn't favor – both teams, but the Falcons handled the Rams pretty easily. Then now they go to a Philadelphia versus the Eagles against a backup quarterback. And I like Atlanta's chances. I like the fact that they can run the ball. I do like Philadelphia's interior run defense. I do like their front seven. I do like Fletcher Cox. I do like Vinnie Curry. I do like Derek Barnett when he gets in there when they put him in pass rush situations. I mean, I do like that. But I don't even think it's Julio Jones of course you got to account for Julio Jones, but it's really Mohamed Sanu that makes a lot of these big catches for Matt Ryan all year round. He's the guy that gets open. he's the guy that helps move the chains. And then that 1-2 punch you already guys mentioned with Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman. From the Eagles side, you're right, Chris. I agree. They're going to try to run the ball. And the Eagles can run the ball. Let's not pretend that they can't. LeGarrette Blount, Jay Ajayi, yeah, they can run the ball. I just think, is this going to be a closer game? I agree with the spread. It's going to be a close game. And if it has to come down to a Matt Bryant field goal, and you see Matt Bryant's pretty much playing at a pretty high level as a field goal kicker, I don't think the Philadelphia conditions is going to put him in a situation where he's going to miss field goals. I think he's a very confident kicker as well. Offensively for the Eagles, you got who? Somebody mentioned it. The cornerbacks for the Falcons, they're playing at their best if I've seen it. We're talking about Rob Alford and Desmond Trufant. Their cornerbacks against, let's say, Torrey Smith or Alshon Jeffery, I think they're going to have a good job. I think they might win out those matchups, those one-on-one matches, man. I don't think the Falcons, Dan Quinn, they will go to a lot of zone. I think they'll play straight up, man, if they have to in a lot of this game. Make them beat you, and take it from there. But that's the case. It's going to free up the linebackers for the Atlanta Falcons, like I said, with Deion Jones. You got guys like Campbell and cornerbacks, and of course, Grady Jarrett, if he gets some pass rush up the middle, and whatever happens with Brooks Reed as well. However, the Falcons defense does this, man. I think they can have some stops in this, and then probably go down and get a walk off field goal. I can see a walk off field goal in this game for the Falcons. So I'm gonna go Falcons, and I hope I am correct, because as long as the Eagles are out of it, I am cool with that. Robbie mentioned the offensive tackle for the Falcons is out of this game. I haven't really followed the injury report too closely. But I do like the balance with the Falcons. See, the Falcons and the Saints are two teams. We'll talk about the Saints in a few. But they're a team that could do both. And you couldn't really say that about those teams a few years ago. They were pretty much one-dimensional for the most part. They could run it. They could play it. They could pass. And now they could play a little bit of defense. So I like the Falcons in this game, Chris.
All right. You're listening to the Bleed Blue Show. Yes, you are. We're talking the 2018 NFL Divisional Round Playoffs. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Google, as well as www.bleedblueshow.com. Well, let's try this Jaguars at Steelers game, Steve. That's the early game on Sunday. Let's go around the room here. This one is pretty intriguing here. And I can't wait to hear the dialogue. So far, the dialogue in this show, man, this is one of the classics, bro. All right. At Everything NYG, Robbie, man, how do you see this Jaguars at Steelers situation going on Sunday?
Hey, man, believe it or not, this is the game I'm most excited for. This one right here. This is 110% I'm most excited for. One, I mean, I have a lot of bias. I live in Florida, so I have a lot of Jaguars fans around me, you know, whatever. But I think the main thing with this is it's going to be – I like watching good defenses, and that's exactly what this game is going to be. The last time these two met up, Ben Roethlisberger threw 5 interceptions. 2 of them were pick sixes. Like, if I remember correctly, 2 of them were pick sixes. This Jaguars defense is one of the most legit defense the NFL has seen in a very long time. And you know who's at the head of that? Tom Coughlin. He's assembled these guys. I thought a guy like Calais Campbell, I thought he was done. They bring him in, and he's almost leading the league in sacks, if not leading. I think he's number 2, 3 or tied or something like that. He has 14.5. It's just one of those things, man. It's really impressive to see what they've done, and I've been saying it for a long time. I think everybody's been saying it for a long time. They've had all the talent in the world. They just didn't have someone that could coach it. They didn't have someone that could bring them to where they need to be. And I think a guy like Blake Bortles takes so much shit for no reason. They're not a bad team in the single slightest on offense or on defense. They have a lot of injuries, man. They've lost a lot of guys this year, and they just continue to do it. And the way I look at it is the Steelers, we don't know how Brown's going to be. We don't know how he's going to return. You can say, yes, he's Antonio Brown. Okay, yes, but one, he's coming off of a decently bad injury, and two, he's going to be against Jalen Ramsey, who is right now the best cornerback in the NFL. And even if something happens to Jalen Ramsey, then he goes against Boye. So he's going to have an issue. I don't care. You know, last time he had 9 for whatever, it's not happening again. Not again. No way. And then Ciprin, he's another damn good defensive back. Their D-line
is great. Their linebackers are what we could only dream of, youth and fast as hell. I love that Jaguars team, man. I want to see them win. I think they deserve every second of this win, and I think they will win. I really do. You know, people are going to disagree with me on that. Everyone's going to disagree, just like the Titans game. I think the Jaguars will win this game. I think they're going to rattle the hell out of Ben again. I think they're going to – I think Brown will be under 60 to 70 yards tops. And I think the biggest aspect of this game is going to be the tight end. I think Jesse James should have a good game because they'll be so focused on stopping the receivers, Juju and Brown and Martavis Bryant. I think Jesse James is going to be a big aspect. Of course, you have Le'Veon Bell. Still can't believe the shit he said today. But, of course, you have Le'Veon Bell, and I think, you know, he's going to do his thing. There's really no need for a prediction there. But I genuinely do think that Blake Bortles will have a good game against this defense. You know, the Steelers is another one of those defenses. Yes, they're good, but I don't view them as crazy as everyone else does. And as much as it sucks, Shazier is not in this game. No matter the reason, he's not in this game.
Yeah,
that's a huge loss. That's a ginormous loss. That's the anchor of their defense, and it's shown in the last few games if you look at the stats where he's been out, just like Sean Lee for the Cowboys. I'm telling you, the Jaguars are the truth. They could very much end up in the Super Bowl, say whatever you want about it. They are the truth. So we'll see. We'll see once again. But I do think the Jaguars win this game. I think this will be very low scoring. As always, you know, it's a defensive game. It'll be very low scoring. You're not going to see a bunch of flashy plays. It's just not going to happen. There's no way it's going to happen in this game. There's just no chance. And then the Steelers, they might be without Artie Burns. He hurt his ankle today in practice. And if that's the case, that's one less corner they have. Yeah.
I didn't know
that. One less. Yeah, that's one less corner. So I genuinely believe the Jaguars win this game. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be a weird score, too, like a 12 to – you know what I mean? Like something weird. But I think the Jaguars win this one. And I think they keep winning. What did you say, man? Sorry.
Like last week. Last week was a weird score.
Yeah.
10-3 or whatever it was. Whatever the hell it was.
Just like I said with the Titans game, I think it's going to be another one of those games that surprises a lot of people. Most people are all over the, you know, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown. You know, they're all over that hype train. Well, like I said, Antonio Brown is not Antonio Brown right now, and he even said it himself. He's slowly getting back into practice. Well, you don't have a lot of time anymore. You know what I mean? You can't slowly get – if you're not ready to go, you're not ready to go, and you sure as hell ain't ready to go against Jalen Ramsey. So I'm just saying, just watch out for that. Watch out for Ben. He gets rattled easily. He's just like Eli Manning. But a lot better. But he gets routed easily, and it's going to happen. So this is my game to watch this week. This is the game I will be watching most of all. This will be a good one. This is going to be playoff football. Defense wins championships.
Okay. That's Robbie, everybody, at Everything NYG. Steve from L.A., what's your take, sir?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
What's your take on this Jaguars-Steelers
Well, I want to say congratulations to Tim Tebow for beating the Bills last week. And I also want to say that I'm really excited to see Blake Bortles in the Mets farm system, and I'm looking forward to a September call-up this year. Wait a minute. Which one's Tim Tebow and which one's Blake Bortles? I have never seen a more Tim Tebow-like performance than I saw last week. I mean, that guy couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. People complain that Eli Manning having struggling to hit short passes, and by the way, he does. I agree with that. My God, this guy couldn't. I mean, he had guys 3 yards in front of him, and the ball was further. I mean, further. That was the worst quarterback performance I've ever seen since Tim Tebow. His legs won them that game, and so no, I don't. I mean. Look, I haven't watched the Jaguars all year. If that was an aberration, that's fine. But I got to tell you, if that's the guy if that's Blake Bortles, I mean, that guy's terrible. I mean, that was awful. I mean, it was awful to watch. I mean, there's no way. Now, I will say this. The last time I was so sure the Steelers were going to win a playoff game was, of course, the last time they played Tim Tebow, and I was wrong. So, but having said that, I don't think lightning's going to strike twice here. If that Blake Bortles shows up next week, they're going to get killed. I mean, that was awful. So, yeah, I'm going to pick the Steelers in this one.
Gotcha, Governor. Gotcha. that was amusing. Chandler, sir, how do you see this game going on? Jaguars and Steelers.
This is good. To me, this is going to be the best game of the day.
because as much as I love Mike Tomlin, he has set that team up to fail. They're talking way too much about New England, and they got a team in front of them that's going to give them the business. Jacksonville, that defense is the truth.
100%.
That defense is the truth. And when Blake Bortles is that guy we saw last week, but he's also a guy who can drop 300 yards on you and 300 yards and more touchdowns on you. He's also that guy.
Well said.
I think I know what defense is going to show up, and I know that they're going to give Pittsburgh fits. They're going to shut Bell down. They're going to shut Brown down. They are going to hit Ben Roethlisberger early and often. I don't know which Bortles shows up. If they get an average quarterback performance, they might put 40 points on the Steelers. They might put 40 on them because you cannot keep talking about you looking at New England when you're about to play this team. This team has shown all year that they can play with anybody, and if they get just average quarterback play, meaning if their quarterback gives them two touchdowns, they're going to win the game. So I think Pittsburgh has made a huge mistake. I think Mike Tomlin has let this team look past Jacksonville. And listen, man, it would not surprise me if Jacksonville gave them 40. But I think Jacksonville wins this game no matter what the score is. I think Roethlisberger throws at least three interceptions, and it might be ugly up there in Pittsburgh. It might be ugly, and it's going to be all Tomlin's fault. And I'm going to say that right now. This is on Tomlin when they lose this game, but they're going to lose this game.
Okay.
Good fair shit, enough. Bro.
Yeah, that's spirited conversation right here. Steve, I'm going to go on to Racing. Hello? Steve, you with me, baby?
Yeah,
quiet. You're the quietest Steve I've ever seen in my life.
yo, what's up? Yo.
Hey, Ray, we talking Jaguars and Steelers, man.
Man, listen. I'm going to say this one time. This is going to be a very hard matchup for me because the Jaguars got a nasty defense, but also the Steelers are pretty good, man. They got Le'Veon Bell, and they got AB. You know what I'm saying? So I see like this. I don't want to bet up against the Steelers because I do want the Steelers to make the Super Bowl, but I want to say 26 to 20, the Steelers.
That's close to what I.
And I'm stretching it, and I'm stretching it because of the fact that, you know, the Jaguars' defense is nasty, but you know, we talk about Big Ben, and he already got like two rings. You know what I'm saying? So I think the Steelers' defense this time around will step it up. But we'll see, man. That's my prediction for that game, man. It's kind of shaky. It's kind of shaky, but you know, I got the Steelers winning that.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you, bro.
Yeah.
Worm is up.
Hey,
on,
what's
sir.
On?
Jaguar Steelers.
I like Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville has the top defense in the NFL right now. And, you know, the Steelers are very arrogant, including their head coach. I think they're more concerned with James Harrison being on the Patriots, and they're looking past Jacksonville, which is going to be a huge mistake because I think they're going to take Blake Bortles very lightly because he's almost
Blake
average
Bortles.
Quarterback.
Because he's
Blake Bortles.
Yeah,
because he's Blake Bortles.
Right.
And
right.
I think that's going to be a huge mistake that Pittsburgh's going to make on Sunday. I can see maybe a 23-10 game, 23-14. And I really do like Jacksonville.
I think it'll be a hell of an AFC championship game when New England and Jacksonville play each other. And if that happens, plays out the AFC championship game, Bill Belichick just has a hard time beating Tom Coughlin in big games. He's 0-2. So I like Jacksonville's chances if they get past Pittsburgh.
Wow, interesting. That never came to mind. Thanks, Worm. Steve, I'm gonna be brief on this one. This is the hardest game of the weekend for me, actually. But see, I'm gonna say something I don't think anybody mentioned yet. This is what I do see in Pittsburgh, in those wins and the whole nine yards with terrible towel folks and all that nonsense. If this contained Leonard Fournette early, Bortles is not going to get that ball downfield. Okay? I'm going to let you know that right now. Everybody on the line, I'm going to let you know that right now. And so for him to depend on his legs at that stadium against that team, I think it's going to be rather difficult for him. Okay? They need to find a way to – they were number one in rushing this year, the Jacksonville Jaguars. A lot of people don't understand that stat, but that's the fact. Okay? But if they can be contained, which the Steelers can do that, okay, Bortles is not going to win that game for them downfield. He's inconsistent. What was that stat last week? He was the first passer in the last 25 years to have more rushing yards than passing yards in a single game. You know, it was enough to beat the damn Bills in the wild card round, but, you know, not only is, like, the Steelers' defense a hell of a lot stronger than Buffalo's, but, you know, you got to have A.B. coming back. I just don't see nothing happening offensively for them. Defensively, yeah, of course. We know what it is. We've all said it. It's very evident that Jacksonville's defense is, oh, man, it's a stalwart defense that's just going to improve over the years. But on Sunday, Ben Roethlisberger is not going to throw another 5 interceptions, man. It's not going to happen again. Even though the Jaguars' defense is better this time around than last time, than week 6 or whatever the hell that was. You know, I don't know which AB is going to show up. And it's also going to be interesting how the Jacksonville defense covers him anyway. Because I think Jalen Ramsey is more than capable of hanging with him. But I don't know what we're going to get here. That's the big unknown. Okay. All I do know for sure is that offense that they displayed last week against the Buffalo Bills, okay, even with Ryan Shazier gone and all of that, nah, I can't see it. You know, Pittsburgh scheme aims for backfield stops, and so those D linemen always have to change assignments, you know, in order to, you know, to beat the blocking. And when it works, it's great. When it doesn't, your safety's got to move up. And with all those double teams, I don't know. I don't know. I can't see it. I'm going to be on the safe side here. I'm going to say 26-21 Steelers because it's there in Pittsburgh. I do know that defense is it's going to be monstrous for years in Jacksonville. But not now, not right now. And if they do get past them, that's we'll talk about that next Thursday. But I just can't see it right now, man. I think the Steelers just have too much experience for a contest such as this in Pittsburgh. Steve,
I look at this game as if the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to win this game, that Le'Veon Bell has got to get the touches, maybe split out in wide receiver here and there to get touches. Not necessarily runs, not necessarily pass receptions, but necessarily touches. I want to see the matchup on the field. I don't know how defensively the Jaguars are going to do, but I would love to see Jalen Ramsey travel and go against AB 1-on-1. Now, if this is the type of matchup I expect to see as far as him following over the field, not playing his one-third of the field in defense, if that happens to be the case, let's look at the case where it's a close game and it's a defensive struggle. AB doesn't get his touches. He doesn't get his passes. I could see him getting frustrated on the sidelines. I could see him causing fits, going off. And if that happens to be the case, and let's say Fournette gets a little bit of a better bounce back game this week than he did last week at home versus Buffalo. I mean, Fournette doesn't have to run for over 100 yards, but if he gets somewhere between, let's say, I don't know, 85 to like 90, 95 yards, I really do like the Jaguars' chances defensively. This is a game. The Jacksonville Jaguars do play in Duval County, Florida. They do play where it's mostly warm most parts of the year, but they are kind of a team or a roster that's built to play just like in Western Pennsylvania. They're a team that they could run the ball, and they play tough, 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 tough defense. If you watched the game last week, you saw Tevin Smith. You saw Calais Campbell be a monster. Malik Jackson, Super Bowl champion with the Broncos. You saw Miles Jack come flying all over the field. From a strong linebacker position, these guys are good, man. And the secondary, the corners are getting AJ Bouye from the Texans, and then you add in, of course, Ramsey to the mix. The safeties is all right, they're okay. I mean, Barry Church is not really nobody to write home about, but they have enough on all three levels to get this thing done defensively. And like Blake Bortles, like we said last week. If Blake Bortles, all he has to do is not fuck up. And he doesn't fuck up, the Jaguars win this game. He fucks up, he gets turnovers, they'll lose this game. But this is what I think. I don't think he's going to fuck up, honestly. I think you're going to see probably more of what you saw last week of what Stephen from Los Angeles said. I agree with that. He could have hit a pass for nothing. He was way off. I don't know if it was playoff jitters. I don't know if it was just inaccuracy altogether, but I've seen games where in chunks of this year with the Jaguars where he's gone off. Now, it is hard to win two games, especially in Pittsburgh in the same year, if you're not the Patriots. Theoretically, I should be picking the Pittsburgh Steelers, but because of the Jacksonville Jaguars defense alone, I'm not even factoring in the offense, or even the special teams for the Jaguars. I'll take that back. The Jaguars still got to play sound special teams, punt coverage, make their field goals. They do that part of the deal, that's fine. But the offense, as long as there's no fumbles, Blake Bortles interceptions, no, a lot of three and outs. I mean, give the defense a chance. I think the Jaguars probably could win this game something along the lines of, I don't know, 24, 23, 24, to let's say 17, 18, like under 7 points, definitely. I would go with the Jaguars. I have to put the caveats on it because I think they could pull it off, Chris. I think they could run the ball up there, man. I think they could keep it on just enough, get some good field position, but play tough defense against Ben Roethlisberger, because I think it's really about containing AB and also Le'Veon Bell. I think the linebackers are good enough to hit those holes, wait for that patience for Le'Veon Bell, you know, because he likes to do a lot of cutbacks. He's a very patient but explosive runner. But I think the Jaguars got the personnel in the front seven alone to really be disruptive on, let's say, what's his name? Villanueva's, DeCastro, the lineman for the Steelers, man. I think they have the personnel to really give fits to Pittsburgh. Okay. One more last point before we go to the last game. The Steelers, if there ever was like a motivation, I mean, that ass whooping they got earlier this year versus the Jaguars, that probably would be their only whiteboard material. And if they could probably feed off of that, but I'm gonna go with the Jaguars. We can get to the next game.
Any kind of score you want to give me so I can really gauge what you're thinking?
I'm going to say 24-18, 24-19, something like that, Jaguars.
Okay. All right. You heard it. It's archived. Steve is totally going with the Jaguars in Pittsburgh. All right. One game left, and we got 15 minutes to get through it. Okay, less than 15. Everybody has to do their final thoughts. This is Saints and Vikings, everybody. This is this the night game on Sunday? I think it is.
Yeah.
Hey, this is the entertaining game. This is this is the game where there's like a lot of grudging going on, and we're gonna take it from the top and see where it leads us. At Everything NYG, Robbie, how do you see this game unfolding? Saints and Vikings.
This is, in my opinion, compared to the Eagles and Falcons game, this is going to be your offensive game. This is going to be the offensive game. This is going to be the shootout. I think both will, but this is going to be your real, genuine back and forth, bang bang type shootout, man. Because that both of these teams are very offensively oriented. You know, the Saints, up until this year, we were talking about how much of a joke their defense was. You know, they got Lattimore and a few other guys, and now they're like, oh, their defense is great. It's good. Their defense is good, but Lattimore's good. But the rest of their defense is okay. You know, Manti Te'o's okay. You know what I mean? Like, their defense is not great. You know, and I think Stephon Diggs against Lattimore will be interesting, but don't forget about, you know, the rest of their receivers, you know, Thielen and Kyle Rudolph and those guys. So it's going to be a massive shootout. And then you got freaking the rookie, you know, the offensive rookie of the year. Back there in the same backfield. Yep. And then you got Ingram as well. I didn't say he doesn't need an introduction, man. That dude is woof. But you know, then you got Ingram, and then you got the rest of their receivers, and you got guys like Ginn, and you know, except for just like the Saints, they got one lockdown corner in Xavier Rhodes, and then the other guys are somewhat liabilities, you know, like Trey Waynes. So this is gonna be the shootout. Yeah. This is gonna be the back and forth. You're gonna see Drew Brees, you're gonna see Case Keenum come alive. And you're going to see what our potential, maybe, next head coach in Shurmur can do with his offense. We'll see. I think it's going to be another really good playoff game. I think they're all going to be really good playoff games. But I think this is going to be the one that you just stay glued to the seat because you never know who's going to throw the next touchdown. This game should easily go into 35, 40 points. It should be that game. It should be, and that's why it's the night game, because it should be that game. But, yeah, just something else real quick. I'll just go into my final thoughts super quick. So I got to go out. I just saw the Giants, confirmed by a bunch of sources, have narrowed their head coach list down to three, and it's exactly who I was looking for. Right now it's between Pat Shurmur of the Vikings offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels, offensive coordinator for the Patriots, and Matt Patricia, defensive coordinator for the Patriots. So it seems like Wilkes is out of the list, and so is Jim Schwartz. That's what the NY Post is saying and a bunch of the main guys. So. Narrowed it down. So that's my final thoughts. I guess I'll leave it there. I want Patricia and McDaniels, and then Shurmur would be third. But, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, looking forward to the game. I hope everyone enjoys it. Enjoy it. Have a good weekend, everyone. And Bleed Blue. Talk to y'all next week. Talk to you Sunday.
All right. That's Robbie at Everything NYG. Appreciate you, Robbie. Thanks a lot. Steve from L.A.
Hey.
So
this, again, is an example. I mean, I don't know between this one and the other NFC game. I mean, they're both – I can't decide which one's going to be the better game, whereas I think the AFC games are not going to be good. So this game, you know, I like the fact that the Saints have gone more to the run this year. And I think the Vikings, they still play in a dome, or is that an open-air field? I don't remember anymore.
That's a
new,
stadium. That's a new place.
Is it open air, or is it still a dome?
I think it's domed because of what happened.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it is domed.
That's a
retractable type of thing. Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, even though Breeze is on the road, he's not going to be, you know, in a real road condition.
Right.
Having said that, I think the Vikings have really put it together this year. And, I mean, my hesitation is Case Keenum, you know, the real deal. But, you know, he showed last year in the Rams. He had some good games. I think this will be close, but I think the Vikings are going to put it together. I think they'll win this game.
I believe it. Yeah, I do too. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, I think this is going to be very close, but I think the Vikings. I think they have all facets of the game, and they're playing well coming down the stretch, and I think they're going to win this game.
All right. Do you have any final thoughts you want to give us, sir?
I just wanted to say one thing, and this is football.
On.
This is football related, but not exactly pro football. And that is one interesting thing in the college playoff, the Oklahoma game. You know, everyone's looking at Baker Mayfield, you know, as a possible, you know, who's going to pick him? Could the Giants even pick him? One thing I thought was interesting was that in that overtime, when especially that overtime where they could have won the game, you know, they kind of took the ball out of his hands. I mean, they ran that jet sweep and they were running the ball, and I was really surprised. I thought, you know, if this is the best player in college football, why are you not putting the ball in his hands and letting him win the game? And it kind of soured me a little bit on him. Maybe it was just bad coaching and it's not his fault, but that was really kind of interesting in that when they needed to win that game, they took the ball out of his hands. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But, you know, beyond that, like I said, the NFC games I think look good. The AFC games I don't think are going to be very good. I know I'm in the minority on the Steelers game, but that's all I'm going to – but I still think the Steelers are going to win that game easily, and I'm looking forward to watching.
Steve, we appreciate you wholeheartedly. Please call in every chance you get. Appreciate that.
I will. Thanks so much for having the show. I really appreciate it. I've gotten very friendly with Jason, and you know, it's very interesting to hear everyone's opinion, especially the guy – what's the guy who spoke right before me?
Robbie. That would be Robbie.
Yeah, Robbie. I mean, he really seems to know what's going on with most of these teams, and it was very interesting to hear his insights. Even if I disagreed with him, it was very interesting to hear him. So I look forward.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Steve from LA.
Everybody. There you go. Chandler, let's have your take on this Saints-Vikings game and final thought if you have it.
All right, well, full disclosure, I've been rooting for Case Keenum since he was at the University of Houston. I thought the Texans should have kept him as their quarterback.
He was putting up numbers back there. Wow.
So, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I've been rooting for this kid for a long time, so I'm going. Right. So you already know who I'm going with here. I'm going with the Vikings because I like the kid. I think he's better than he's ever been given a shot to be. And I like the Vikings defense, but mainly I think this kid is good enough to beat the Vikings. I really do. So the Saints. So I'm going with him. Plus, it's Minnesota, it's outdoor, all those things. But to me, it's Case Keenum, and I'm rooting for him. So that's who I'm going for. And
gotcha.
I guess as a final thought, man, this should be a good weekend of football. And I do hope that we get some good games, but I don't know, man. Just that Patriot game, I think that's just trash. But other than that, man, thanks a lot for having me tonight, guys.
You got it, Chandler. Appreciate that.
Night Chandler 7 on Twitter. Shout out to Chandler.
Shout out to Chandler. Rayson, what's your take on this game and final thoughts, sir? That might be my bad.
Rayson, yeah. Can y'all hear me now?
I got you, man. What's your final thought? I mean, what's your
Oh, man, listen. I feel like this. I feel that the Vikings and Saints, man, that's going to be a tough game because everybody sleep on Drew Brees, man. He still got it, man. But I think, honest with you, it might come down to a field goal. On some real shit.
Could be.
What happened?
Yeah, it could be. It could be. Just a field goal.
I see it 17-20.
Really?
Vikings.
Okay. All right. So what's your final thought, man? What do you think about this weekend's game? Is it going to be entertaining or what?
Man, it's a lot of interesting games, man. But you know what, man? It is what it is, man. I'm just, you know, I'll watch them. But I'm just hurt that my Giants ain't in it. But it is what it is, man. But, yeah, I'll watch it. You know what I'm saying? And that's all I got to say.
Got you, Rayson. Appreciate you, bro. Talk to you later on FB. Worm. No, sorry. Worm, hold on. I got to get the champ in first. Assume, take on your game and final thoughts, sir.
Hey, man. All right. Well, for the game, it's going to be a shootout. It's probably going to be one of them games that whichever team has the ball last, they're going to win. I can't really definitively pick a winner, but if I had to, I would probably have to say that I'll roll with the – I'm probably going to roll with Minnesota with them being home. That dome can get loud, and they can get after it defensively,
yes,
rushing the quarterback. So I give them that. And, you know, just to double back, because you skipped me, man, on the Jaguars and the Steelers. Listen, I want to pick the Jaguars. I hope Tom Coughlin and them succeed. But, man, you heard what I told you last week, Chris. You know what Blake Bortles is like. I told you. He's like that friend that you have. You set him up with the pretty girl, and he find a way to mess it up. He's going to find a way to mess it up this week, man. And they're going to end up losing that game. And I know everybody is sitting here saying that. I know everybody is sitting here saying the Jaguars defense is great, top of the line, the best defense in the league. Yeah, that's true. But I don't know if it's week 15 or week 16, Chris. But I seem to remember them going to California and playing a dude by the name of Jimmy G, and he hung 40 points on them with no-name receivers, no-name tight ends, and Carlos Hyde at running back. You're not going to get a 5-interception, 2-pick-6 game out of Ben Roethlisberger again. And like you said, the fact that they got that 39 to whatever it was beat down from them early in the year, you don't think that that's gnawing in their craw, that they had to listen to that, especially the way Jalen Ramsey been chirping all season about how they beat them when they played? This is going to be retribution for them, man. So I want to pick the Jaguars, but my lack of trust in Bortles is making me pick the Steelers. But would I be surprised if the Jaguars beat them? Not really, but I got to go with the Steelers just because I don't think Ben is going to have a second bad game against them, and I don't trust Bortles. And the final thought is, hey, man, we got some halfway decent matchups except for that Patriots game. I'm looking forward to seeing it. And, you know, bleed blue.
Bleed blue. That's a sim, everybody. Worm, you got a full minute, Worm, to talk about this game and also your final thought.
It's going to be a very tight game. You know, it's, you know, like somebody said before, it's going to come down to who has the ball last. I can see maybe, 26-23, 2017 game, something like that.
Possibly, yeah.
I'm gonna go 26-23 New Orleans. I think New Orleans defense plays a little bit more consistent. At times, Minnesota's offense has been a little inconsistent this year. I do like Travis Rudolph at tight end, and I like Thine as well. But I think New Orleans defense is playing at a high level. They have a chip on their shoulder. And, they're coming out with something to prove. I like the experience. You know, Sean Payton is a head coach. He's been in big games like this before. And, I'm going New Orleans all day long.
Final thoughts, sir.
Final thoughts. I'm interested to see where the Giants are going to go head coaching wise.
Okay, I got it.
Normally,
we got to get cut off in a second, Worm. But I got you.
Right.
But I got you. I got you. I just want to say, Steve, I'm gonna hand it over to you, but I'm with Chandler here. I have to see. Case Keenum is not really a backup quarterback. He had the job and had the Rams winning. He got kicked out of there. He had the Titans winning. Kubiak didn't want him there. Hey, you're gonna see a performance. He has all these weapons, and they're gonna let him unleash early. It's gonna be a shootout. And I'm proud of all the Blue Bluers that called in today with their wonderful knowledge have been able to enhance that fact. For this entire playoff weekend. You got the show, sir.
Vikings over Saints. I like the UCLA. I like the UCLA linebackers for the Vikings. That would be Anthony Barr and Kendricks as well, man. I like those guys. And also, pretty much the defense for the Vikings. Another defense that I do like, along with the Jaguars, I do like the Vikings defense in this game. They beat the Saints earlier this year. I think they'll do it again. And I think the writing is on the wall for them to host the Super Bowl and go to it in the same city. I think that would be cool for that city and their fan base. So as long as they not overlook the Saints, play some tough defense versus them. And I like their chances. And they have a They have Keenum, and I like the fact that Keenum's at the quarterback position this time around even better than they was earlier this year. So we're out of time.
He's going to sign.
Vikings over Saints.
Vikings over Saints. Okay, for Robbie, Steve from L.A., Chandler, Rayson, Worm, Asim, myself, and the great Steve Azul. Hey, bleed blue, enjoy the games, and hey, look, check us out on all our archives that I mentioned before. Tune in, Podcast Republic, all of that stuff, iTunes. You know, check us out on media, social media as well, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google, www.bleedblueshow.com. Steve, have a wonderful one, sir. Bleed blue, everybody.
Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Can you dig it? Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.